You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
So I think Charity said this in the announcements. A large part of what we're going to talk about today is found in the Little Village lesson for next week in Genesis 3. So parents, we're really giving you a heads up. So you get a whole week lead time to think about the worldview and the mental space your kids are going to be in next week with their learning about God. Just want to give you space to prepare and think about what we're doing. Today, we're going to talk about how we should react to our feelings. Now, in responding to what we feel in everyday life, I want to talk about how we handle our feelings in a situation that's common to all of us. One of us, one that we will all experience every year of our life. So how do you handle fear? How do you handle shame? How do you handle regret, doubt, self-hatred, feeling unloved, feeling like you're not enough, feeling uncovered, feeling alone? How do we handle our feelings when we've sinned against God? When we've done things or thought things that we know are against what God has told us is good and right? So there's a perfect example of this experience in the Bible, and that's in Genesis 3, and we're going to turn there in just a second. But I want to say this clearly up front to all of us here. Feelings and truth are not the same thing. Feelings and truth are not the same thing. But I want to quote a friend of mine. My wife and I heard her say this to her kids, and I thought, that's right. She said, feelings are real, but they're not reliable. And if feelings are real but not reliable, then we need something reliable to tell us how we should really feel. And so we can look to the Bible. The Bible is God's true word. It is from God and about God. Now, the world, which is sick with sin and in need of rescue, will tell you that what you feel is reliable. But it's dangerous to not call things what they are. And it's dangerous to put your hope in things that change quickly. So think about it like this. You ever just been really cranky? I mean, like people around you are going, what is wrong? I see this with my two-year-old. Around 12:30, Shep, he's tanking. And I know, hey man, you just need a nap. Like, you don't like the world right now. But in about 2 hours, everything's gonna be right as rain. So we put him down for a nap, and I'm jealous every time. But you think about, you skip breakfast. Like you're in a hurry, you leave, you skip breakfast, you're either in school, you're in class, you're at work, you're thinking, I can't wait for lunch to get around. And all of a sudden, everybody around you is just annoying. That's called hangry. Like, eat a sandwich, keep your friends. That would be fine. Parents, you ever gotten up in the morning and had coffee on an empty stomach? And you just feel your heart go like this? Just gets away from you? What if you just ate some food? All that anxiety, all that tension you feel? You could avoid it. See, all those feelings are real, but they're not reliable. God's word is reliable. It tells us how to handle our real feelings as we walk with God, our Father. So you've got your Bible. I'm going to talk about Genesis 3, and then we're going to read it together. I want to set it up for you because we're here at the beginning, and we learn that God made... Kids, okay, kids, eyes on me, big eyes. I want to see you right there. Those were good. Okay. So if you're here and I give you a spot, I don't want you to go half in. I want you all in, okay? So if I'm going to make myself vulnerable and say, hey, I'm going to leave it blank. I need you to say something. I want to hear you. Deal? Deal? Yeah. All right, so God made everything. All right. And everything he made was perfect. There was no sin or sadness or sickness or death. And God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had hearts that loved and trusted Jesus. God placed Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden. And Eden was perfect. It was beautiful and full of good things like animals and tasty food. I bet it was so good. But the best thing about the garden was that Adam and Eve got to be with God. They got to walk with God and talk with God and see God face to face. And there's nothing better than getting to be with God, you guys are doing great. So good. Don't tell the 9:15 how good you did or the 9 o'clock. We don't have a 9:15 service. Some of you think we do. So God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed in the garden. Everything. Everything. You just wake up and it's all there. He gave them every tree in the garden to eat from except one. God is so generous. He's so generous. God gave Adam and Eve one rule. He told Adam and Eve they could not eat the fruit from one tree. You see, God was protecting Adam and Eve by telling them not to eat the fruit from the one tree. God knew if they ate the fruit, they would be separated from God and die. God's rule would keep Adam and Eve safe and help them have the happiest life possible. Now, you know this part. One day, a beautiful snake came into the garden and spoke to Eve. The snake lied to Eve. The snake told Eve that if she ate the fruit from the one tree, she would not die, but she would be like God. What a terrible lie. So sadly, Eve believed the snake instead of believing God. She doubted that God was really good. And the Bible tells us Eve looked at the tree she was not supposed to eat from. And we're going to pick up there, Genesis 3. So it's on the screen, or you got a Bible you can grab in front of you. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You see, Adam and Eve sinned when they disobeyed God and ate the fruit. As soon as Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit, everything in God's perfect world broke. Sin entered the world, and the world was no longer perfect. Now there was sickness and death and sadness and bad things. When Adam and Eve sinned, their hearts became sick with sin. And Adam and Eve knew they had done something terrible, so they tried to hide from God. You ever tried to hide from somebody? Maybe a parent you disobeyed? Maybe a friend that you really hurt? You ever tried to hide from yourself? There was a tone of voice my parents used when I was little that would send me looking for a place to hide. I don't know about you. I think my dad could still use it, and I would look around. I knew I was in trouble when that happened. And often, I was a tender kid. They didn't really have to say much, because if I knew it was really bad, I just hid. Like, I knew it was coming. So I just realized, I better run. And then the conversation would happen. I ask you this, have you ever looked for a bush like Adam and Eve? Just a place to avoid that conversation? Just didn't want to face the consequence of your actions or deal with awkwardness? It's this moment, Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, that I want to think about, and for you and I to use our God-given imaginations to think about what it would be like to be there. So try to put yourself in the picture and feel what they were feeling. Adam and Eve disobey God, and they're hiding, and they hear God coming. And God calls out to Adam and Eve and says, "Where are you?" In their shame, in their disobedience, in their fear, God, who's fully aware of what's happened, like God's not surprised, he walks into the garden and he's not going, "Man, where'd they go? Something happened?" Like, he knows. He sees. He knows. He's not surprised, and he knows how he's going to react. And so he comes into the garden knowing that they're hiding, knowing that they've sinned, knowing what they're feeling. And he calls out to him. And he says, "Where are you?" You see, Adam and Eve doubted what God said was true. They disobeyed God's rule, and they relied on their feelings, not what they knew of God. They listened to the serpent instead of God. They doubted his goodness and trusted their own judgment. They ignored God's generosity, his provision, his goodness, and their sin entered the world. And God said to them, "Where are you?" So imagine God saying this: "Why are you in the bushes? Why didn't you trust me? What made you think that I would take good from you? Where are you?" I think about the bushes I hide in when I've sinned against God, and what I feel in that moment. I worry about God being mad at me. Anybody ever worry about that? Yeah? Okay. I believe that I've outsinned his grace. Anybody ever think you've worn out his patience? I feel unsafe. I believe the lie that I'm not loved. Anybody ever believe that? I believe the lie that I'm not wanted. And I'm scared. Have you ever been scared before God? In that moment, I've often tried to protect myself by hiding. I just try to fix it on my own. I overperform to make up for what I've done wrong. So you know this. You're just going to do so much good that God's going to be distracted by all the good, and he's not going to think about the bad you did. And you can just keep going and act like it didn't happen because you don't have to deal with it. And you can try and prove that you're worth loving by doing good. I bury my fear, my guilt, my shame by speeding up life instead of slowing it down. I keep myself from thinking about what I've done, what I'm feeling, what I'm believing about God. So pretty often without realizing it, this might be you. I just pull out my phone. Like if I don't want to think about something, I've got just a perfectly engineered distraction in my pocket. And I can check Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I can text somebody. I can call somebody. If I don't want to think about something, I don't have to think about it. And I can avoid my heart. Some of us feel all those things and don't know what to do with them, so we just ignore them. You do what I've done. We believe that God is mad at us and we've blown it, and we think we're second string. Like, you just didn't make the cut. You're here, but you're on the bench. You're tolerated by God. You're not loved. We believe that. And all of these are ways of hiding in the bushes from God. So moms and dads, kids, little brothers, big sisters, we all feel this moment, don't we? We all sin. We all have hearts that are in need of rescue. It's the moment between action and consequence, between sin and punishment. Like, it's that moment that all of a sudden your tummy is just not okay. Like, you realize, oh, that was a bad decision. And your throat tightens up and you know something's coming. We think, what's going to happen with me? What I did was not okay. I am not okay. And we all try to numb that guilt, ignore that, and prove your worth in different ways. And I want to tell you this, kids, being young doesn't protect you from the pain of sin and the loneliness it brings. It doesn't. And I'll tell you this, this message started rumbling in my heart. It started rumbling in my heart about 3 weeks ago. We've got a 4.5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 5-month-old. And my 4.5-year-old Piper, joy of my heart, I'm like trying to get dressed. And with 3 kids, I just want to make sure my shirt's aligned right. And so I'm like trying to get the buttons in the right holes, trying to get breakfast cleaned up, trying to get their backpacks done and get out the door. And my daughter's in front of me the entire time. Daddy, pick me up, Daddy. Pick me up, Daddy. Up, up. Pick me up, up. And I just was in a hurry. I said, Piper, I can't right now. Let me get this stuff done. I'll hold you, I promise. And I just went on because we were in a time crunch. And I got everything done. You know what I realized? My daughter, who is not quiet, I hadn't heard from her in a while. And I looked around the house and I couldn't find her. And I walked in our room and I found her. I found my 4.5-year-old daughter on the floor crying in the corner. Now, there are moments in parenting that I think, man, I'm killing it today. I'm 5 years into this gig. I've got this. Like, I can pay attention. They know. And there are moments like this where I realize I missed it. I scooped my daughter up and held her, and I just said, Bubba, what's wrong? She said, Daddy, I told myself that you would never love me. There are things your kids say to you that just... I just said to her, sweetheart, oh, I'm so sorry you feel that way. I'm so sorry. You need to know that Daddy loves you with his whole heart. He loves you. I'm sorry you're feeling that. But that's a lie. That is not true. And you need to not believe that. What you say to yourself is important, and that is a lie. Daddy loves you. The feeling was real. It was not reliable. So kids, look at me. I want to see your eyes. Got you right here looking around. Big eyes. I want to see you, okay? All right, I want you to hear me this really quick. Your parents are given to you to show God's character to you. They tell you about who God is. And with all the love that they have for you, which is more than it might, more than you might get for a long time, they will show God's love to you imperfectly. They're going to fail. They're human. They're going to fail. They're going to sin against you. You're going to sin against them. And at some point, they're going to miss your heart reaching out like I did, where I missed my daughter's heart, and it's going to hurt. And you're going to be tempted to believe the lie that you're not loved, that you're not wanted. Don't. Don't believe it. And I want you to hear me really clearly on this. Your parents are doing the best they can. And this might just seeds for later. Your parents are doing the best they can, and odds are they're probably dealing with hurts from their parents where they believe the lie that they weren't loved. And they're having to have their hearts be healed by Jesus where they believe the truth that they are loved and known and seen. They do love you. They've got all the same feelings you do, and just because you're older doesn't mean you handle your feelings better than when you were little. Some of us just have a real trouble with what to do with our emotions and feelings. That's why it's important to talk about it. It's important to know what to rely upon. So I'll tell you this, who you can rely upon. You can rely upon God because he loves you. You see, he's your provider, your rescuer, your refuge. He's your safe place and all the emotions you're going to feel in life because feelings are big. He alone can perfectly care for you. You see, no human can bear the full weight of your heart. No human can do that. And to ask another human to bear the full weight of your heart is to hurt both you and them. Jesus alone can bear the full weight of your heart. And he is good and can be trusted. He longs to be near you, to hear you, to hold your heart. And he listens fully. So pay attention to him. Trust him. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he knows what you need. You can see that Adam and Eve, he gave them everything they needed. He knows what you need. He's reliable. And so in times of hurt or joy, you might be tempted to trust what you feel more than what you know of God. Don't do that. Don't trust what you feel more than what you know of God. Feelings are fickle. They change quickly. Jesus is not a story on a page. He's a living rescuer who loves you and knows you. Amen. You can trust him. Amen. Now, adults, single, married, parents, not. You need to hear this. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. And in just a second, I'm going to read a list of words out loud. And as I read them, as you hear these words, I want you to let this, just the first thing that comes to your mind when I read those words, scenes from your life, I want you to hold them in front of you. Does that make sense? So what do you see, what do you feel when I say the word shame? Anger. Sin. Hurt. Fear. Need. Alone. Hope. We pick up scenes throughout life that we file under these words. You live long enough, you just have more and more drawers of scenes that go with these words. They come with emotions that we can define ourselves by. We can let these feelings cloud out the bright hope that we have in God. And so I want to tell you this. I want you to hear me really clearly. You are known by God. In each of these moments, what you're holding in your mind, in each of these moments throughout your life, and those that will come, you are seen by God. You are kept by God and loved by him. He knows your name. And he has compassion on you. He loves you. So with all these things that you're holding in your mind, All those things floating in front of you, pain, regret, shame, suffering, hurt, all the ways you've tried to fix it on your own, all the things you've done and the things that have been done to you. The invitation for you in Jesus is to let them fall, to let go of them. He loves you. He knows you. Hear God in Christ say this to you. Where are you? Come to me. Now, when you hear that, the look on his face is pretty important, right? Like you want to see his eyes. It's going to tell you whether you're in trouble or whether you're okay. So if you think it's a scowl and he's angry, remember that he knows who you are. Like I said about God walking in the garden, he's not surprised by your sin. He knows. And he's calling out to you so you can be free from sin. He knows what you've done. He knows what's been done to you. He's come to bring life and light to the dark places. He's calling you forward into joy and healing and life. So will you trust him over your feelings? Will you trust him? He is more than able to receive all of your feelings and all of your past. And you can let all those things fall at his feet. And so why do I want to talk about this? Why talk about feelings? Because in that moment, the moment of fear, of shame, of guilt, of doubt, what you believe about God in that moment makes a world of difference. But what should you believe? That what you say about God and what you say about yourself is true? What the world says about you and yourself is true? What your feelings say about God and yourself is true? Because in moments of panic or fear or doubt, you just want to run away and hide. What do we tell ourselves to believe? We go to what God tells us of himself in the Bible. See, God's word is reliable, and it's where we go to learn how to think and how to feel about God and ourselves. And when God, who made us, tells us about ourselves, we know that what he says about us is true. He can be trusted. So kids, I'm gonna need your help on this. In children's ministry, we have something we call the attribute wall. And these are God's revealed attributes. This is what he tells us about himself. These are characteristics of who God is. Now, I think about this. I didn't grow up with these. I'm grateful my children grew up with these. So I've wrestled with anxiety my whole life. I don't know what it would have been like at 5 years old to hear that God is wise. He knows what's best. God is good. He is what's best. God is generous. He gives what's best. And to let that create just fruit in my soul where I didn't know and I trusted what I believed about God, what I told myself, and what the world around me said, instead of what God said about himself. So I'm bringing these up because adults, we need these. Your kids are learning this, but they are the best language to think through it of who God is. And so again, kids, don't go half in. I want you all in, okay? You with me? All right, okay. There's a lot here. We're gonna get there. I'm showing you these because I want you to see what you can hold to, who you can hold to when you're tempted to run. He doesn't move. We sin and we move. God is unchanging. So here they are. God is good. God is what is? I'm sorry? Best. God is wise. God knows what is generous. God gives what is best. Loving. God does what is best. Provider. God meets the needs of his children. Heard you, Robbie. Compassionate. God sees, cares, and acts when his children are in need. Refuge. God is a place of safety and protection for his children. Attentive. God hears and responds to the prayers of his children. Deliverer. God rescues his children. And unchanging, God never changes. And he is who he says that he is. Which is why he called out to Adam and Eve and didn't leave them hiding in the bushes. He loved them even as they hid from him. And he loves us the same. Now, God did punish Adam and Eve for disobeying him. He did. He sent them out of the Garden of Eden. But before God sent them out, he made them a promise. It was a very important promise. God promised Adam and Eve that one day he would send a savior to rescue God's people from sin. And that savior would fix everything that sin had broken. And that savior would defeat the snake that had lied to Adam and Eve. Do you know who that savior was?
Jesus.
You see, Jesus came to save sinners. God kept his promise to send a savior to save us from sin. When we love and trust Jesus, God takes the heart that is sick with sin out of us and gives us a new heart that loves and trusts him. So in the moments we're tempted to rely on our feelings, on the world, or what we tell ourselves, we can know what is really real because he has rescued us. We're not holding on to facts or stats about a celebrity that you're never going to meet, you'll never know. You're holding on to Jesus. And he is more than able to handle our feelings, our sin, and hold us fast in the love of God. I want to imagine for a moment. Just think about this with me. Use that imagination. What if Adam and Eve in their perfect home that was awesome that God made for them that they woke up in and was provided? What if on the wall in their dining room they had the attribute wall? And so when they ate that perfect tasty food and there were no flies around their fruit and they just got to hang out and they talked, they could look at the attribute wall. And so Eve's like, you know what? We're low on fruit. I'm going to go get some. So she goes outside because it's all there because it's perfect. She goes and gets it. And all of a sudden, she comes across this beautiful snake. Imagine what their conversation would look like. So God provides for you, does he? Oh, yes. He's a good and generous father. I have everything I need. Seems like he's holding out on you. I'll give you a rule. Because he knows that you'll like him. You'll be like him if you eat the fruit of that tree over there. What are you trying to say? Are you saying that God doesn't want what's best for me? Hey, you said it, not me. I don't believe you. I think you're trying to trick me. God is wise. God is wise. He knows what is best. And God is generous. He gives what is best. I have everything I need. And God is loving. He does what is best. If he told me not to eat it, I'm not going to eat it. Snake, I think you're a liar. I'm going home. Imagine how different life would be. But that's how you and I can fight sin and fight temptation. When we're tempted to listen to the world, to ourselves, and to the serpent. When we're tempted to believe the lie about God. We learn what God says about himself in the Bible and we trust him over our feelings because they are real, but they're not reliable. He is unchanging. So friend, just as we close, let me tell you this. God sees you. God knows you. He's calling out to you. When the moment comes, when you've sinned, when you know you've blown it, you want to run and hide, don't. When you're here, it's that time. You've sinned. You've disobeyed God. You've done or thought something you know that is not pleasing to God because he told you not to do it. And you thought, maybe it's good. Maybe he's holding out on me. And you realize, no, he was right. And I feel it. When you're there and you just want to hide from him in the bushes, you know the opportunity you have in Jesus when you're here with sin? In Jesus, you can repent from your sin, which means to stop and turn. And you can trust Christ and go to him. And he calls you forward to himself to heal you from sin and its effects, to bring you close to himself and into real life and joy. I want you to believe that God is who he says that he is. And what he says about you is true. He alone is reliable and able to rescue us. He is unchanging. And he is our deliverer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you see and know, that you hear and answer the prayers of your children. I thank you that you sent a rescuer to save us from sin. I thank you that we can trust you and that you tell us about yourself. And that when we needed you and need you, you are near. I thank you for Jesus, who is our perfect Savior, Would you help us believe what you say? Would you help us know who you are making us in Jesus and trust you over our feelings? God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that we can trust you. You are a good Father. We pray in Christ's name, amen.